The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I'd like for us to begin the sermon today by going to Romans chapter 13. I want to get right into this. Romans 13, verse 7. Romans 13 and verse 7. And I'm going to ask you right off to go there, and when you get there, to put a marker there, because we'll be going back and forth to this several times. Romans 13, verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. The New International Version, I'm going to read that from this version also. It says, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And I read both of these because this word in the King James Version as render and as give in the International Version can also be translated as showing. And so if you just read the word as showing, it doesn't really mean a lot. But as we go through, I think you'll understand more about why that's an interesting word there also. But I want us to focus on the word honor, which, brethren, is a very interesting word and a very interesting concept. Listen to some of the synonyms from a Webster dictionary for the word honor. Esteem, respect, pay homage to, assign value to. Now, the Greek word translated as honor in our English Bibles is the word, and it's T-I-M-A-O, and that Greek word means to prize. In other words, it means to prize, that is, to fix a valuation upon. It's very, very similar to what we have in our English dictionaries. This word also in the Greek could be rendered as to revere. Therefore, I think by us going back to verse 7, we can see that rendering, giving, or showing honor means that we are to treat others respectfully because we value them highly. Okay, here are a few questions that I think that should generate to most of us. You may have other questions, but these are the ones that I came up with. Should we put value on any man or woman? I mean, looking at the word, it's what it says that we're to do, but my question is, should we put value on anyone? Is honor really due anyone? Or should we honor God only? And then what does the Bible actually say? First of all, I know right off, because many of you would come to this real conclusion, real simply, very, very rapid, and the same thing that I did whenever I first started studying this particular concept. And we would come to what, because we know what the commandment says about our parents. Now hold your place there in Romans 13 and go with me to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. You know this. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor your parents, honor your father and your mother. Some translations say parents, and that's why I read it that way. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. So right off the bat, we already come to the conclusion that, well, yeah, we understand that there is honor to be given or due to others. That would be, obviously, our parents. In fact, brethren, the more you think about it, this is exactly how we are to begin our lives from babies. That we are to learn how to honor our parents. And then by studying God's Word on this topic of honoring others, we will see just how much God has to say about this very important topic. Because I think right off most of us would say, is this an important topic? And the answer is, yes, it really is. And we, by the end, I hope that we will all conclude that it's probably much more important than we individually may have actually thought about before. Even though we would right off say, well, yeah, I agree with it. But how much do we know about it? And how much does the Bible really have to say about it? And I'm going to tell you right off, this is a much, much bigger topic than what I'm going to cover here in this one sermon today. Not implying that I plan to give any other sermons on it anytime soon, because I'm not planning to do that. But there are a whole lot of other verses and concepts that are there that are not even part of this particular sermon. So it's much larger than even just what we're going to cover. So we need to realize that God does not limit honoring others to simply honoring our parents. Now, back in Romans 13 and verse 7, this verse clearly tells us that honor is due to certain people. Now, we've already seen it that it says that we're to honor our parents, and that's to begin from birth. That's what the implication is out of the Hebrew, that from birth we're to be doing this, and it's to be carried on. And seeing that there are obviously others that we're to be honoring, it prompts other questions. One is, to whom, therefore, is honor due besides God and our parents, which is obvious? And the second question is, how do we honor others? If we're supposed to do it, how are we supposed to do that? How do we do it? Well, first of all, we need to understand the truth is, we will never sincerely respect, prize, value, or honor anyone until and unless we start with an attitude of meekness. That even includes our parents, which we all from the get-go know that, yeah, the Bible says we're to honor them, but are there others that the Bible shows we're to honor? And the answer is yes. And it has to start by us having an attitude of meekness. Now, what I mean by that is, brethren, what we see is honoring and respecting others will never happen until there is, or if there is. Let me state it this way. Honoring and respecting others will never happen when there is a superior or self-righteous attitude present. So meekness has to be there. It has to start with an attitude of meekness. Let me show you what the Apostle Paul says over in Philippians 2. Let's go to Philippians 2 and verse 3. We could read all of the verses 1, 2, and 3, but I want to read just verse 3. It said, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind," that's meekness, "but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Now, I want to read this also, the last part of that, in the New International Version. "Rather in humility, value others above yourselves." Wow, this is interesting. He is telling us that we are to esteem, are to value others better than ourselves. And let's understand this. Esteem or value are synonyms for honor. Rather, in humility, in meekness, honor others above yourselves. That's what it says. Now, not asking for a show of hands, but how many of us do this? How many of us really think that we do this? Well, I hope more of us than we might think. I hope that there are many of us who actually do this, but have never really considered and never really thought a lot about this particular topic. Maybe we can learn from a quick review of just a couple of statements from some other people who live God's way of life. For example, what did John the Baptist say of himself with that attitude in mind that we just saw? Value others better than yourselves, or honor others better than yourselves. In John chapter 3 and verse 30, John the Baptist states, "He," and that he is referring to Jesus Christ, "he must increase and I must decrease." This is the attitude. This is what he's talking about. I am valuing him more than I'm valuing myself. I'm honoring him, seeing he's above me. And we could all look at this and say, well, yeah, but there is no but. This is what he had. This is the attitude that he had. Well, what about Paul? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." He also stated in the book of Ephesians 3 and verse 8, I'm not going to read it, but he said that he was less than the least of all the saints. Now, from what we know from Paul and his attitude and how he served God and how he honored God and all of those kinds of things, I don't think any of us would really agree with either of these particular statements. However, what I am focusing on here is he did have the correct attitude. Let's also realize, brethren, anytime we dishonor others, actually, anytime we dishonor anyone, it is probably, perhaps, maybe, I'm trying to maybe soften the statement up a little bit, but it could be a sign that we are thinking of ourselves, or we are thinking about others, either ourselves or others, inappropriately. We're thinking, perhaps, I'm better than he is or better than she is. We know, without looking at scriptures, we know that we are to love others as ourselves, which is an act of showing them honor. We probably all are aware that there are some cultures or some societies that have the tradition of bowing of themselves toward other individuals. It is done out of an attitude of respect of others. Now, is it always done out of respect to others? I doubt it. It's a custom that they do. But I think it was started with that in mind. Now, yet in fact, we seldom see anything like this in our enlightened society, do we? In fact, today we live, I conclude that we are living in a culture or in a society of dishonoring others. And you know, brethren, if we are not careful, we can begin to think and to talk and to reflect the same dishonoring attitude and way of living toward others ourselves. It is prevalent in our society today. I was reading something on the news today. I'm not going to go into it, but there's an individual who is wanting to be the president of the United States. He made some statements, and others are disagreeing with it. And they are going through all kinds of horrible, dishonoring words toward this man because of a statement that he made. And I think more than anything else, they didn't really understand what he was saying or where he was meaning or where he was getting his information, because they rejected that. I'm not saying that I agree with the statement. What I'm saying is I am disagreeing with the attitude of dishonoring him because he makes this statement, therefore he isn't worthy of any of these other things. Wrong. That is so contrary to the Bible. So let's not get caught up in these kinds of things. Whether we would agree or disagree with anyone's politics is not the point. And so we need to be careful because we get caught up in it and actually dishonoring others ourselves. And the thing is, nobody is safe from this attitude and this attack of being dishonored. I mean, not the president, or members of Congress, or law enforcement officers, or school teachers, or the ministry, past or present. And no, I understand, because we are living in an era today that is irreverent and disrespectful to others. And we can get caught up into it. And that's what I'm trying to warn us against, of why we shouldn't be doing that and why and how we should be doing things. Brethren, now is the time for us to see what God has to say about honoring others. First of all, I want us to understand this is something that is going to be very different from what the world teaches us. Let's realize honoring others from a pure motive is only possible when we have a proper perspective of these points. I'm going to give you 3 points, real just bullets. Who God is, what we are, and who others are in relation to God and us. You see, honoring others begins with deep honor and respect for God and for what God has to say. So that's where we need to take a look. What does God say on the topic? Not what society says. Not necessarily what we've been taught from society or what we are hearing in society, but what God has to say. And it starts with this deep honor and respect for God and this deep honor and respect for what God has to say. The first 4 commandments lay the foundation for this particular point. We could read all the 4 commandments, not going to read any of them. But we could read them and we could see that's where the foundation is laid. It has to start with this deep honor and respect for who God is and for what God has to say. So what does God say about honoring others? And when we consider this point, does God give any, and I'm going to use this word 2 or 3 times in this sermon, does he give any qualifiers? In other words, a person must have this and this and this, any kind of qualifiers before honor is given to him or to her. Well, I'll honor him as long as. Wrong. It's already contrary to what God says. Does he give any qualifiers? No. And that is a surprise to some people, even in the Church of God. The last 6 commandments deal with our relationship to others. And brethren, I want us to think about this, and I want us to contemplate on this, meditate on this. But when a society is built on a solid family unit where both parents, husband and wife, are both honored, it will be a society that probably will also be a society that observes the last six commandments. All of them. If we have number five right, all the rest are going to fall in place. Do we have number five in place today in our society? Of course not. Therefore, none of the others are really observed either by the whole of society. The fifth commandment states, we already read that, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth which the Lord your God gives you. And what we see is that God does not state or give any qualifiers here. Remember, I stated earlier when I stated this from the beginning, from a baby, we are to be honoring our parents, our mother and our father. We are to be doing that. Of course, it takes being taught, because we don't come here with that kind of knowledge. We don't have that. But it is something we're to be taught. Our whole society around us is to be teaching us that from a very, very young age, like birth. What we notice from this verse in Exodus 20 here, in verse 12, about honoring our father and our mother, he does not tell us to honor them only if they are honorable, does he? And if you go back and you look in the Hebrew, it says exactly what I'm saying. It does not have any qualifiers. It's not just a quirk of our English language. It is the principle that God is getting across. No, simply because they are our parents, we are to treat them with respect and with honor because of who they are. In the New Testament, in Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3, Paul repeats this command again without any qualifiers. If they are this way or if they are that way, doesn't do that. It's in the Old and the New Testament. Jesus also makes it very clear several times when he states that he honors his father. You can go, well, yeah, this is a little bit different. No, it's a principle here. He tells us this is what he does, and therefore this is what we're to be doing also. And so it is there. Several places, John 8, verse 29 and verse 49, and John 17, verse 4, for example. There are others where Jesus makes that kind of a statement. Now, I understand that honoring parents could be very difficult with some dads and moms, maybe who at times their actions may have been dishonorable. Because that has happened in families. I understand that. I wasn't born yesterday. I understand this. Yet, at the same time, because they are dad and mom, they are to be respected. The commandment has no loopholes, and therefore, we might need to take a look at our own lives and attitudes if there are issues. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, you don't understand my parents. Actually, it's immaterial. Because I understand this principle from Scripture. And some had better parents than others. Sorry to say that. But I'm looking at the godly principle here of honoring others, and it begins with our parents. We are to honor our parents before we're ever honoring God, because we don't know who God is, but we know who mommy is. She's that woman who feeds me. And I know who Daddy is. He's the one that plays with me or does whatever he does. And this is from birth, and we move forward. And then they are to teach us about God, and then from that we learn to honor God. And from that we are to therefore learn how to honor others. If it doesn't start at point one of honoring our parents, we may have difficulty getting the other point straight also. That's why that one is so important. And so if there's an issue, we have to get it straight. So, brethren, if there are any type of grudges or any of those kinds of things against either one of your parents, we need to start by getting that fixed. The point is, then, it might be time that we need to be healed. It might be a time that we need to restore. And it might be a time when we need to honor our parents. And if needed, then get help. And that's another topic, but seek help. For anyone who's listening, I am willing to be a sympathetic and listening ear. And I will do my best to counsel anyone out of the pages of the Bible, not out of opinions. Now, the same thing is true with parents toward their children. Because you see, as parents, we are not to provoke our children. That's what it says in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. But it says that we're to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's what it tells us. So we're to be honoring our parents, and as parents, we're to be honoring our children. So that's another group of people that are to be receiving honor, would be our children. And obviously that would include on down into our grandchildren and continue on from there. Another category is husbands and wives are to honor and respect each other. And there's lots of verses on both of those last two categories that I'm not even really going into, just making a statement. And brethren, honor must not stop with the family. There are many others who we are to example, whom we are to honor. For example, all older people should be honored as well. Leviticus 19, verse 32, commands. It's a command. When God tells us something, it's a command, it's not a suggestion. Leviticus 19, 32, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear God, I am the Lord. Wow. If you really analyze this and think about what God has just said, He has told us that we're to do this toward these older people, gray-headed people, because I'm God and because of who I am. That's what He's saying. This is what He's saying here. Again, God does not include any qualifiers. There's none listed here. It is a command from the great God. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I know the answer to this. I think I would probably know the answer to this from everyone. When was the last time any of us saw children or young adults automatically stand when a senior citizen entered into the room? And I say automatically because their parents didn't tell them to do so. They had already been trained to do so. And I understand some would say, oh, that is no longer part of our culture. I know that. However, I also know that it is part of God's. And He says this should happen. It doesn't end, we don't do this because that's Old Testament. We do this because this is a command from the great God. Now, you're going to say, well, yeah, but there are no buts. Yeah, but in certain situations, it's just really awkward and it's embarrassing and it's this. It's a command from God. And we've lost this in our society. Now, again, not asking for a show of hands, but how many of you were reared growing up by your parents or grandparents and you were told that you stand up when an older person comes into the room? Well, you know what? I was. So a question that I have is, so then, why would we not do this for the elderly, since it's a command from God? Now I realize I'm one of those gray-haired old men now. I understand that, and I'm not asking you to do this because I'm that age. I'm saying we do this. We all are to do this because it's what God says that we're to do. It's a group of people that we are to be showing honor toward. Honor to whom honor is due. This is somebody that it is due. You see, here's the thing. God wants us as his people to have this attitude of honor toward our elderly. So what if society doesn't do it? We do it. So what if we look awkward or out of step or not part of the modern hip society? Okay, we're not in step with society. We're in step with God. Which one would we rather be? In fact, imagine with me for a moment, what would our society be like if everyone followed this principle of honoring the elderly? Let me just ask it this way. What would our society, i.e. the Church of God, look like if we followed this principle of God for the elderly? Who else does God say that we should honor? Widows should be honored because they're widows. The only qualifier is that they are widows. 1 Timothy 5:3, honor widows that are widows indeed. Do you know there's no age requirement? There's no age requirement. It's a widow. Now, we tend to think about widows are people who are older, and in most situations, that is what it's going to be. And so we can leave it at that, but I'm just showing you, there's no age requirement. We honor widows because they're widows. Age not necessarily being a factor. We all know this, and I'm going to stated anyway, that our society, our culture today, so often abuses widows who, because they are widows a lot of times, and because many of the times they are vulnerable, often because they are alone, and they are abused, and all kinds of scams are put up on them. In fact, ever so often we see on even the local news on a television, they will say, be aware of scams because they're out there and they're doing it to the elderly. Well, it's not just the elderly, but the widows is what I'm talking about here. But what we need to do is that we need to take notice of the widows who are among us, and we need to give them special respect and honor and attention. The next group that I want to focus on that we are to honor would be the elders and the ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. I understand, and rightly so, respect for the ministry has eroded over the last 20, 25 years or so. I understand that. Again, whether we think they have earned it or not, their position requires honor. And I'm going to show you in Scripture that it's not even a point of whether we agree with their doctrine. Because it's Jesus who teaches us this particular principle that honor is to be given toward those people who are in a position of the ministry. And he does this by using the example of those who sat in Moses' seat. And who were those who sat in Moses' seat? The hypocritical Pharisees. Matthew 23, verse 2 and 3. Matthew 23, verse 2. Saying the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. He didn't say they might or do you think they do. He said they sit in Moses' seat. Now, I'm not even focusing on that, but that's position of authority that is obviously he's referring to. We would use that as they were ministers. Verse 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. That's honor. But do not you after their works, for they say and do not. In other words, they were in a position of where they were theoretically going to be teaching what was right, and you're to observe this, but you're not to follow their actions and to live like they live. So if or when we see ministers who are truly faithful and who correctly teach God's word, we should honor them, as Paul says, twice as much. I mean, we need to understand that not all, some, yes, but not all of the ministry are the Ezekiel 34 kind. And you can read Ezekiel 34 and see what I'm referring to. Not all the ministry fits in that category. So, brethren, I have a question here, and that is this beginning to become clear that honoring goes way beyond just honoring God and parents? And the answer is, well, I certainly hope so, you know, that we're seeing that this is true. Because what I want us to understand here is that God wants a world where respect and honor of others is the way of life. And it starts with us. It starts with the church of God. Are the others in society going to do these things? Probably not. Especially if we say, well, God says that we're to do this. What are they going to do? Not do it. Romans 12 and verse 10. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. So, brother, I think that we can see that we are to honor one another, but do we? Maybe we should challenge ourselves to think of ways to show honor to someone, anyone, every day. I'm not saying the same person every day, but as we come in contact with people, show them honor in some way. Let me bring it down a little closer to home, to us, and we can put our name here. When was the last time that we actively and consciously honored someone? Brethren, if by just what we've seen so far with that question wandering around in our mind, you know, right now, if we determine that we are not honoring others, or that we determine that it has been a long time since we did actively and consciously honor others, then maybe it's a sign that we are thinking too highly of ourselves or too lowly of others. Or maybe we just got lazy. Oh, the others don't do it, so therefore I'm not going to do it either. We all need to realize that honoring one another touches all of our relationships. Who else are we to honor? Bosses and employers are often the target of ridicule, jokes, cynicism, all kinds of disdainful things or thoughts or whatever, and all of those kinds of things. Now, while some may seem well-deserved, when I came up with this point, I just started listing out different people and then started looking for scriptures is what I did. Then I was reminded of this particular verse. It's over here in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. Whoa! What an awesome statement. Let everyone that is under somebody else is your master, your boss, your employer, whatever it is, we're to show them honor so that the word of God, so that God and his word are not blasphemed. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Ephesians 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Oh! We're to have this attitude of that we're working for this boss and we're working, therefore, for Jesus Christ. Yeah, but my boss isn't anything like Jesus Christ. Well, let's continue reading here. Verse 6. Not with eye service or man pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. He doesn't stop. He just keeps on saying the same thing. We're doing this. You do it like you're doing it for Christ. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And brethren, what we notice here very quickly is nowhere does Paul say that our boss must first act like Jesus before we begin giving him honor. It's just like with the parents. We do it to our parents because they're our parents. We do it to the boss because he's the boss. There's no qualifiers. What would the society be like if just the church did this? And brethren, here's the point. The standard is the same for all of us. We are all to honor God, including Jesus Christ, honor the family, honor one another. So who else is left that we are to honor? Well, God wants to learn to honor everyone. The who the other person is doesn't matter. That's what God wants. That's totally different thinking than the world, isn't it? Imagine with me for a moment a world where everyone honors everyone else. Again, at least imagine what it would be like if the Church of God honored everyone else that's part of the Church of God. Is that being done today? Of course not. Of course not. And that's a sad statement. And brethren, here is the Bible's simple statement on this important topic. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Every time we speak and every time we interact with someone, with anyone, with everyone, we should conduct ourselves with humility and meekness and respect and honor toward that other person. And before we say, yes, but what if they're not honorable? We've covered that. That's not the point. There are no qualifiers. There are none. Even the king? In those three words, Peter teaches a very difficult concept. And we just read it as words. But he commands us to honor the king. We need to look back on a historical perspective, background of his words, and when we do that, it will give us a better perspective and also teach us a very powerful lesson. But I don't have honor toward this person because, and whatever follows is wrong. And this verse shows us this very, very clearly and very, very powerfully. Peter had already written, honor all people. And then he lists these others and then he concludes by saying, and honor the king. Now, Peter knew that some believers would resist honoring the king in their time. And that king was Nero, the Roman emperor. That's the king that is the king of that time. I don't know how else to say it, but he was a perverted madman. The guy was sick. I mean, down through history, people have concluded that he probably had all kinds of mental defects for whatever reason and all of that. That's just points of facts out of history. I mean, eventually, even the Romans themselves hated him. And he was their leader. He was their king. He tortured and killed hundreds of true believers in a very cruel and a very humiliating way, including crucifixion. Now, a lot of people died through crucifixion. All kinds of people and a lot of true believers died by this horrible, horrible death at the hands of Nero because he was the guy in charge. He was the king. And he didn't like Christians, and he didn't like true believers, and he certainly didn't like Paul, and he didn't like Peter, and history holds all of this out to be true. And Peter knew that it was going to be very difficult to expect Nero to be honored by someone whose mother, father, husband, wife, whatever, had been crucified because they were true believers, just for example. And then he would take those bodies and have them opened, filled with oil, and light them on fire as human torches or tiki lamps for his garden parties. That's a point of history. And here's the point. Nero was king. And because he was king, he was to be honored. Because he represented the office given to him by God. Romans 13 and verse 1. Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power, or the word there could be authority, but of God. The powers that be or ordained of God. It is not a question whether the king is honorable or not. He is king. And God says that we're to honor him because of that position. If we are resisting that power that they have, then we are resisting God's ordinances or God's commands. Verse 2, Romans 13 and verse 2. Whosoever therefore resist the power, resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Whoa, including Nero? Including Nero. And we're going to have a problem with showing honor to somebody because they did something that we didn't like? This is a powerful lesson. In verse 4, Paul goes on and calls the civil authorities ministers or servants of God. No qualifiers other than the fact that they're in that position. If he were writing today, then he would probably say, honor the president. Many of the early believers, no doubt, despised and hated Nero for what he had done. I don't blame them. Peter understood it. Peter was later crucified by Nero. And then later, very shortly after, he had already killed Paul, beheading him. Peter was crucified, and yes, we know the story that he was crucified upside down. The story also shows that Peter had witnessed his wife being crucified. And then shortly after, Nero goes out and commits suicide. At least that's their story and they're sticking to it. Some had personal reasons to hate him. However, the commands from our king remains the same. It's still there. It's still in the Bible. It's still in effect today. It's still true. Matthew 6 and verse 14 says, "Forgive those who trespass against you." Matthew 5 and verse 44 tells us that we're to love our enemies, that we are to bless those who curse you, that we are to do good to those who hate you, and you are to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And we are to honor the king, which would be synonymous with therefore everyone. And brethren, when we follow and obey God's command to honor all people, we are following our great heavenly King, and we are honoring Him. Well, then what happens? Then what happens when we do that? When we've done all of these things and we come to this, then what happens? It's Jesus Christ who gives us the answer. It's over here in John 12 and verse 26. John 12, 26. "If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant shall be also. If anyone serve me, him my Father will honor." Wow. Wow. So let's get this pattern straight. Let's understand the pattern. First, we humble ourselves. That's what we started with. It has to start there. And then second, we give honor and respect even to those who might appear to be unworthy of honor and respect. Yeah, that's what the pattern is. And the result is God, the sovereign ruler of the entire universe, as it says, Jesus Christ says, will personally bestow honor and glory on those who have obeyed his command. Because, brethren, this is God's way. This is God's way. And we are going to have problems with honoring someone else? You thought this was just going to be an easy little lesson today, didn't you? And as tough as it may be at times, we should make it our aim to respect, prize, value, honor everyone all the time. The Aaronic blessing. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." God bless each one of you, brother. God bless you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111. Tampa, Florida, 33689.